Citizens of the world, this is a friendly warning. If during the next 18 months you should happen to hear or receive the following message anywhere at all, north, south, east, or west of the point where the two cartographic zeros meet on the globe, do not be disturbed.
Attention, please. This is the World Warning Agency. Here is an important message. Unknown forces of high power are at this minute carrying out a massive assault on the Earth from all directions. It is believed that these forces come from interstellar space, or perhaps their origin is the sun. Most of the invasion has been intercepted by our atmospheric defenses, but some has penetrated to the Earth's surface. A fresh assault is expected within the next 24 hours. You are asked to be on the alert. Please stand by. This is the World Warning Agency.
United Nations Radio presents A Friendly Warning. Narrated by Alastair Cook, A Friendly Warning is a special program in tribute to a special event of global importance, scientifically, historically, and politically. For details, stay tuned to A Friendly Warning.
The notice will be short, just 8 hours, and the alert will be on its way to every corner of the globe over an international network of teletype, telephone, and radio.
In view of the exceptionally disturbed conditions on and around the sun, a special World Day is being called to start at 0000 hours, repeat, 0000 hours, Universal Time. Will all scientists stationed at meridians 10, 90, 105, and 140 degrees east, and on 70 and 80 degrees west, please man their posts immediately? This is an alert from the World Warning Agency.
And then, at the appointed hour, north, south, east, and west, men will spring into action.
Magnetic variometer ready.
Patrol spectrograph set.
NPS Model C, ionosonde stepped up.
Infrared hygrometer and hemispheric radiometer in position.
Dobson total ozone spectrophotometer prepared.
Oblique incidence pulse backscatter equipment ready.
All set with the geomagnetic electrokinetograph.
Auroral radar in readiness.
Then, somewhere in the United States of America.
20 seconds to 0 hour. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12.
And somewhere 11, in the Union of Soviet 10, Socialist Republics.
9, 18, 17, 16, 15, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Пять, четыре, три, две, одна, ноль.
Science fiction? Definitely no.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Man penetrates outer space. Read all about it.
Yes, read all about it. When it happens. And it will happen before too long. And then science will be victorious. But so also will history. And this is important. For history has said,
the story of human progress is a story of response to the challenge of the need and the opportunity for cooperation.
Perhaps it will also be a victory for something else, called politics. For politics has also said, in a voice of authority,
today there is no alternative to cooperation and peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, today both history and politics combine in the scientific fact we've been talking about, in that voice from the World Warning Agency which you have heard, the voice issuing alerts to international scientists stationed by agreement at predetermined points of the globe. It is our purpose in this program to explain where that voice comes from and what it means to the world. First, where it comes from.
Fort Belvoir, Virginia, USA. The National Bureau of Standards Radio Forecasting Center located here has been named by an international committee of scientists to act for the next 18 months as the World Warning Agency. It will be responsible for issuing alerts to all parts of the globe, with the advice of and in consultation with other forecasting centers in other countries. The World Warning Agency will also maintain a continuous watch on the activity around and on the sun during the next 18 months. Whenever unusual activity is observed, indicating major geomagnetic, ionospheric, or auroral disturbances, it will be the duty of the World Warning Agency to declare special world days and intervals. These will be for the making of simultaneous observations, investigations, and calculations all over the world in a number of related scientific disciplines. In this way, the World Warning Agency at Fort Belvoir will act as one of the major coordinating points of the global scientific research now going on as part of the project known as the International Geophysical Year.
The International Geophysical Year, July 1st, 1957, to December 31st, 1958. Off and on, there have been stories about it in the world press, little paragraphs tucked away at a respectful distance from news of more commanding stature. Behind these little paragraphs on the inside page of the newspapers, there has lurked the story of
the greatest assault in history on the secrets of the Earth and its atmosphere.
The words of Dr. L. V. Berkner, president of the International Council of Scientific Unions, the world body which organized and is conducting, through a special committee of international scientists, the International Geophysical Year.
The International Geophysical Year is undoubtedly one of the most significant scientific undertakings in the history of man.
The words of Dr. Alan T. Waterman, director of the United States National Science Foundation, one of the principal participants in the world program.
During the International Geophysical Year, 5,000 scientists and engineers in all parts of the world will cooperate in an unprecedented study of man's physical environment.
From the writings of Dr. Joseph Kaplan, chairman of the United States National Committee for the International Geophysical Year.
They will explore almost every major land and sea area. They will study the Earth's core and crust. They will measure the deep ocean currents and the surging tides in the seas. They will observe and measure the many mysterious particles that continually bombard the Earth from outer space, such as these.
Yes, they will probe into the interior of our planet with explosion sound waves. And two of them, the United States and the Soviet Union, will send rockets and satellites to explore the mysteries of outer space.
Into the 18 months of the International Geophysical Year, world scientists, jointly using the world as one common laboratory, will compress 20 years or more of normal research.
From the combined efforts of these scientists from 55 nations will come knowledge of inestimable value to mankind.
Value to mankind. In 13 specific fields, men will concentrate during the next 18 unprecedented months on this one objective.
Meteorology.
Study of the motions and phenomena of the atmosphere.
Geomagnetism.
Study of the Earth's magnetic field.
Ionospheric physics.
Study of the region 50 to 250 miles above the Earth.
Aurora and air glow.
Study of the phenomena of luminous particles in the atmosphere, which produce sheets of light and color.
Cosmic ray physics.
Study of the electrified particles which assail the Earth from all directions, and which some believe come from interstellar space, and others think come from the sun.
Oceanography.
Study of the circulatory system of that living, heaving thing we call the ocean.
Glaciology.
Study of the world's supply of frozen water, which once covered 32% of the Earth's surface and has now been reduced to 10.
Climatology.
The science of the wind and the weather.
Latitude and longitude determination.
The measurement of the imaginary lines that divide our globe.
Seismology.
Knowledge of the force that sometimes shakes the earth.
Gravity.
The force which governs everything from the falling of apples to the fallout of atomic radiation.
From these frontiers of scientific knowledge, the men and women of the IGY will bring back 100 answers to 1,000 questions. Some will seem remote from everyday life.
What causes the aurora?
What is the true nature of cosmic rays?
What is the relationship between sunspots and solar flares and long-range radio transmission?
But others will be more readily understood by you and me.
What exactly is the shape of our Earth?
Are the continents drifting apart?
Are our maps strictly accurate?
Will melting ice sheets someday flood coastal lands and cities?
Is the climate of the Earth changing?
Can earthquakes be predicted?
Is the sea really a safe place in which to dump and dispose of nuclear wastes from the new atomic age of industry?
Call these the short-term or immediate benefits. But, as Dr. Berkner has said,
probably more important are the long-term benefits that are more difficult to predict. In science, whatever is won is never lost. It remains permanently in man's possession to be used when he is ready.
We are ready. We have scanned the scope of the IGY, of the methods, and the aims of its inquiry. We are ready now to ask how it came to be organized and why. The how has been explained by Dr. Berkner in this way.
The combination of two factors led to this international decision and action. Sunspot activity, the source of the largest and most frequent disturbances in the Earth's outer atmosphere, will reach its maximum during 1957-1958. Another such opportunity for geophysical research will not occur till 1970. Also, we have today means of research such as advanced electronics, radar, balloons, and controlled rockets, which were hitherto unavailable.
The how, therefore, means just one word, opportunity. Consider now the why. Dr. Kaplan has said,
the chemist or the physicist can perform experiments in his laboratory, establishing the conditions of his experiments. The laboratory of the geophysicist is the Earth itself, and the experiments are performed by nature. This is one of the compelling reasons for the worldwide scope of the IGY in 1957-1958. Only through such an enterprise as the IGY can synoptic data be satisfactorily and economically acquired.
And this comes down to just one word, need. The International Geophysical Year is here today, at this point in history, because it is today, at this point of time, that the highest meridian of human need has crossed the widest parallel of historical possibility. The International Geophysical Year could not have happened till the 20th century. But into its making have gone all these 20 centuries and some 6 or 8 before them. We stand today at the summit of a cooperation towards which all the centuries and all the nations have pressed, a summit whose base lies
way down there in those misty valleys of pristine time and of prehistory. The valleys of the Nile, the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Ganges, and the Yangtze. It was in these valleys that men first found settled cultivation, where cultivation first made civilization possible, where civilization made possible the first organized human cooperation, and where cooperation first freed men from the chains of solitary survival, presenting the first need and the first opportunity to look around, to ask the first questions, and to fashion the first answers.
The stars are gods. The sun rules the heavens and the earth.
The moon is a queen, and she measures out to man his nights and days. 7 days make 1 week.
Each day carries within it 12 double hours.
365 days. Each of 12 double hours make 1 year.
Next year, or perhaps the year after the next, there will be a hiding of the sun, an eclipse.
In Babylon, Egypt, India, China, human curiosity is born, and history begins its long journey to today. Here lies the earliest ancestry of the IGY, in these first questions and answers of nameless men from unremembered centuries. In those distant morning hours of civilization, the answers still sprang more from inspiration than investigation. They spoke still in the voice of spirits and of gods. And then, in centuries that are still B.C., history reaches a new landmark. On a Grecian island, a man proclaims a new spirit, inquiry, and two new gods, cause and effect. The IGY acquires a new ancestor.
All nature is the manifestation of one eternal will, subject to one eternal law, and beyond the personal influence of divine spirits and invisible gods. The way to an understanding of the laws of nature is through experiment, investigation, and observation.
Thales the Ionian. With him, science is born. Men and years follow in quick succession to feed and nourish it with discovery. Heraclitus.
The only reality is change. Everything is always becoming something else.
Heraclides.
The earth turns on its own axis once in 24 hours.
Aristarchus.
The sun stands still. The earth revolves about it.
Eratosthenes.
The earth is round. It is 25,000 miles in circumference. It is possible to sail around it. This I have calculated.
Timocharis.
I have drawn a line from east to west across a sandy plain, and I have watched the sun rise and set north and south of it. I have found the 2 days when it rises and sets exactly on the line. I have found the equinoxes.
And so it went. On and on, one man here, another there, gathering the first hard fragments of scientific knowledge. But above all these solitary searches for truth, there arose one who proclaimed, in effect,
"The search for knowledge must be orderly. To be orderly, it must be cooperative. To be cooperative, it must be organized."
Aristotle, destined to stride history's next 20 centuries. With him, history achieved what H.G. Wells has called
the first gleam of organized scientific inquiry, the first experiment in the laborious and necessary accumulation of ordered information.
But history was at a turning point. It turned. For many long centuries, Aristotle's was the only voice calling on scientists everywhere to pool their knowledge. After the fall of Rome, the need and even the possibility of scientific cooperation were forgotten in the long sleep of feudalism. But the day was about to dawn, the day for the return of the organized science of Aristotelian days. And when it did, history woke up with a start. And the pent-up centuries let out their breath like a gush of steam. A puff of steam over an English town. The steam pushed a piston. The piston moved a flywheel. The flywheel pulled a belt. And the belt pulled down an age. The world spun round its scientific as well as its political axis faster in a few decades than it had done in all the centuries before. In these few years of the 19th century, as Wells has said,
man made a stride in the external conditions of his life faster than he had done during the whole long interval of tens of thousands of years between the Paleolithic stage and the age of cultivation, or between the days of Pepi in Egypt and those of George III. A new gigantic material framework for human affairs came into existence.
The Industrial Revolution. Here lies the most immediate ancestry of the IGY and of much else besides. The 19th century saw the birth of an age that imposed compulsory cooperation on a world which had shrunk overnight. Both the need and the opportunity for cooperation reappeared in human affairs, reappeared to stay, and to grow with each stride of the giant that man had unleashed. Pushed by steam and pulled by electricity, they met in a dozen towns around 100 conference tables to discuss common problems and to explore common possibilities. On trade.
Gentlemen, we cannot do without it. Commercial traffic on the Rhine has quadrupled since 1831. We must set up a central international commission vested with both legislative and judicial powers to administer this international artery of trade.
On transport.
This is impossible. Mein Gott, you cannot travel from one country to another. You have to get down at every border on change trains and buy new tickets.
It is clear. We must draw up a treaty on railways and set up a uniform law for the transport of goods and passengers across our frontiers.
On communications.
Gentlemen, we are putting a 10% tax on all internal telegraph messages, but a 15% tax on all foreign messages.
Oh, this is a British message. It can wait.
This will not do. This will not do. We must have an international convention establishing a common system of priorities for all international messages and a common system of costs.
On health.
Monsieur, cholera has struck again. A common danger faces us. Therefore, common action is required. Let us have an international conference.
And so, in science also, in 1861, an eminent mathematician, General Bayer of Prussia, could pick up where Aristotle had had to leave off 2,000 years before.
We do not know the exact measurement of the Earth still. We need to bring geodetic scholars from all countries together in an international conference to exchange knowledge and compare results.
3 years later, a permanent commission, the International Geodetic Association, was established with a central office. We're near the end of our story now. History, fed by men and their centuries, has brought us to the point where science, like other things, had to emerge from solitary cells of individual research into the open country of cooperative inquiry. In this open country is to be found the immediate ancestry of the IGY.
Arctic, year 1882-1883. Name of program, First International Polar Year. Subject of inquiry, meteorology. Nations cooperating, 10.
Then again, 50 years later, the area of inquiry is wider now, and so is the collaboration.
Arctic again, year 1932-1933. Name of program, Second International Polar Year. Subjects of inquiry, meteorology, magnetism, cosmic rays, atmospheric electricity. Nations cooperating, 15.
And now, back to where we started.
Year 1957-58. Name of program, International Geophysical Year. Place of inquiry, the world. Subject of inquiry, the universe. Means of inquiry, the broadest in history. Nations cooperating, stretching from one end of the Atlas to the other, from Norway's north to Australia's south. Also from one end of the alphabet to the other, from Argentina's A to Yugoslavia's Y. Reasons for cooperation, chart these on the globe upon which we live, the globe that spins in both space and time.
Yes, chart the reasons for the IGY on the globe upon which we live, and chart them both in space and time. They lie in time wherever the ascending meridians of human need have crossed the broadening parallels of opportunity. They lie wherever history has paused for breath in its upward climb to say,
the story of human progress is a story of response to the challenge of the need and the opportunity for cooperation.
They lie in space, where the 38th parallel intersects the 77th meridian, the place from which comes that friendly warning.
Attention all scientists. This is an alert from the World Warning Agency. Unusual activity has been observed.
And they lie at that point in both time and in space, from which comes that other warning, also friendly.
The technological advance of our present age, the age of the atom, of the hydrogen bomb, and of space rockets and satellites, leaves no alternative to mankind but to seek progress in peace.
That was an alert from the World Warning Agency at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, USA. Operations begin at 0000 hours, repeat, 0000 hours, Universal Time, tomorrow.
You've been listening to A Friendly Warning, a program in tribute to the International Geophysical Year and to the scientists and nations cooperating in it. Your narrator was Alastair Cook. The program was written by Golo Bry and directed by Irving Berenson. It was produced in the studios of United Nations Radio in New York.